BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's happening all over the country. In a time of great need, critical care workers, doctors, nurses, PAs, medical support workers, and others are being let go for refusing the shot mandate. Public safety personnel, first responders, police officers, firefighters, and others are being forced from their jobs for refusing the shot mandate. Federal employees in a number of venues and civilian contractors are all under the gun to receive the shot or say goodbye to their careers. Border Patrol agents and military personnel in all branches of our military are set to lose everything if they refuse the jab. Religious exemptions for many have been thrown out the window. Well, leading the fight against the unlawful mandates across America through strategic lawsuits and demand letters on behalf of healthcare workers, federal employees, military personnel, students, and others is Liberty Counsel. Their founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel is with us today, Constitutional Attorney Matt Staver. Matt, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jim. It's good to be with you.
Matt, this really is an all-out assault, isn't it?
Oh, it's an absolute all-out assault, and it's on all different levels. It's students, it's employees, even employers that are religious employers. It's also men and women in the military, and it's also now people seeking medical treatment, including kidney transplants. We have people that are being removed from the kidney transplant list, whether they're a donor or a recipient. If they don't get the shot, they're being told you can't get the kidney. And in fact, in one case, we have a woman who is eligible, approved, and her brother is the donor, eligible and approved. They're all set up. One more thing they have to do, get the shot, and the woman says no. She has been removed from the kidney transplant.
My. Matt, I believe it's really important that we, again, we're going to talk about some of the details of your cases and so forth, but I think it's important that we go back to our foundation on this. I mean, these shots, they cannot be mandatory under emergency use authorization, can they?
No, they can't. The federal law, emergency use authorization, it says that if there's an emergency, which they declared this as an emergency, and there's nothing to treat the emergency, then you can provide this emergency use authorization, meaning that the information, the drug that's being provided, is experimental and investigational. There's not enough data to actually determine whether it's safe or whether it's effective. And that's where these COVID shots come into existence. Since it's under emergency use authorization, and because it doesn't have the long data that typical testing provides over many, many years, and we don't know how safe it is, and we don't know how effective it is, because it doesn't have that longevity of testing, then the federal law says you cannot mandate it, that every person has the option to accept or refuse the shot without any consequences. That's the federal law. So what we have here is Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson, they're under EUA. There's only one FDA-approved COVID shot, and that's BioNTech's Comirnaty. But it's not available. The FDA says it's not available in September and October. Letters, they say it's not available. The CDC says it's not available. The National Institutes of Health say it's not available. And now Pfizer also has said, and in fact, their statement is reprinted on the CDC and the NIH website that says it's not available and we do not intend to produce it for months while there's still the EUA product that's out there.
Well, you know, that's all right. And I know some are saying, well, it's the same thing. It's the same thing, so just use this.
Well, that's the argument that they're trying to do. Well, it's the same thing. Substantively, it's the same thing. But we don't know for sure if it's substantively the same thing. But assume that it is chemically the same thing. Let's just assume that for argument's sake. It's not the same thing because it's legally distinct. The FDA is very clear that it is legally distinct. What does that mean? Well, it has certain other requirements it has to meet, no matter what the contents of it is, even if it is identical chemically. And some of that is the obviously the number that it goes by. There's a certain authorized number. That's not going to be used. Pfizer says none of the vials are going to use that number. Also, in the number is very important because it requires certain criteria that they have to comply with legally that an EUA does not have to comply with. So it is not the same. And that's why it's not available and everything is under EUA.
Now, Matt, even when or if the EUAs are lifted, the government still cannot demand the shot, can they?
No, because you have other laws, for example, for employees. You have the federal Title VII law that protects you based upon religion, and that's where you can provide an exemption request to the employer. But you also have, for like federal employees, federal civilian contractors, any federal individual, like a military service member, in addition to those kinds of laws, they also have, well, the service members don't have necessarily Title VII per se in the same way, but they have something even better, and that's the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And that law says that if there is any substantial burden on your religious exercise, then the government has to show a compelling interest of the highest order and achieve it in the least restrictive means available. Bottom line is, once you present your sincere religious belief, you don't want to take these shots because your body is the temple of God, temple of the Holy Spirit, you don't want to defile it, or alternatively, and in addition to, for example, these shots were made using aborted fetal cell in their testing or development phase, and you don't want anything to do with abortion. Once you bring that forth, the government has to then consider accommodation. And when we look at the past many months, for the last year and a half, whether it's military, whether it's students in school, whether it's healthcare, whether it's employment, you have a history of accommodation for everybody. So there's no argument you can say now that reasonable accommodation is not available. It is available.
Mm-hmm. Matt, let me ask you this as well, because I talked to a member of the military here recently, and they indicated their resistance to getting the shot and trying to get the religious exemption, but they were shot down, no pun intended, shot down because of the fact they said, well, have you registered your opposition to every other vaccine? You took vaccines when you first entered the military, and you allowed for this one and this one and this one. You therefore cannot use this you know, conscious or religious exemption against this when you've already succumbed to giving, you know, accepting these previous.
Yeah, we've seen that argument before. But, you know, the fact that there's two responses to that. Number one, not all prior vaccines, in fact, very few, are made using aborted fetal cells. And yet we have COVID shots, all of them used aborted fetal cells in their testing and or development phase. So put them in a different category altogether. Number two, you may have taken things in the past that you had no knowledge of. You know, and there's basis for that in the scripture. You eat for you're invited to somebody's home, and there's some food that's being provided to you, and it may have been sacrificed to an idol, but you don't know about it. So your conscience doesn't activate an opposition to it. But once you know about it, you don't want to offend, you know, other people, so you refuse to have it. And so somebody may have taken a medication, a vaccine, a shot that was done previously for which they had no knowledge, but now that they do have knowledge, they make a decision. It's like, for example, there's some things that we've eaten or utensils that we cook with, and we were told they're all healthy. Then you find out, well, no, they're really not. They're harmful for you. You stop using it. You stop eating it. You stop drinking that particular liquid because it's not good for you. And that's when you find out and you make that decision based upon your knowledge, but also it is arising from your religious belief that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You don't want to defile it.
Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Counsel. Matt, you were last with us just after you filed this class action lawsuit. October 15th was the date that you filed the lawsuit. You were with us shortly thereafter. If you could just briefly explain what this lawsuit is about and then what has transpired over these last 5.5 weeks, and including an order that was just issued yesterday by a federal judge in the case Navy SEAL versus Biden. So take us back. Give us a brief summary of what your class action lawsuit is and what's happened the past 5.5 weeks.
Well, it's a class action lawsuit representing all members of the branches of the military, and we have representatives from all the different branches. It also includes federal employees and federal civilian contractors, people who are working in the private sector, but the company has a contract with the federal government to produce some kind of product. It may be to produce boots for members of the military or the F-35 fighter stealth jet or whatever it may be. So all of those three categories, because they all originated with Biden directing the Department of Defense to issue the mandate on August 24 regarding the military, and then he did the employees and contractors on September 9. So we're representing a huge class of individuals. We have gone to court. We have ultimately on November the 12th, the military, under the order of the judge, was required to produce certain data to expose what they've been doing regarding these shots. Well, what we found, and we went to a hearing on November 15, just a few days ago, and what we found by this data is that they have, according to their data, received 16,643 exemption requests. And you know how many of those that they granted? Zero.
Oh, my.
None. They didn't. They denied hundreds of those requests that they have reviewed so far, and they granted zero. And one of those requests not only was denied, but the appeal was also denied. So it should have been a no-brainer when we went to the hearing on November 15. You know, obviously, they're denying these across the board. But the judge issued an order yesterday and is not ready to issue the injunction against the military yet. But he is demanding that they have a report filed every 14 days to give the data about what they're doing. And if the next report is like the one that we got on November the 12th, we're going to get the injunction. So here's the bottom line for the military. Either the military is going to have to start voluntarily granting exemptions to avoid an injunction, or if they continue their path of denying all of them as they have done so far, they will be forced to grant the exemptions by a court order.
And that was the ruling that came out yesterday.
That's the ruling that came out yesterday. That's
right. And that's all branches of government?
That's all branches of the military.
Military, rather. Mm-hmm.
On the federal employees and the civilian contractors, the judge did not grant the injunction there. And, of course, this is at the preliminary injunction stage, so it's not over. But what he did say is very significant. He said that under the executive orders for the both the federal employees and the civilian contractors, they must allow religious exemptions. Doesn't mean that everybody who applies gets a religious exemption, mm-hmm. but it means everybody who applies needs to get a fair shot, and that means many of them will get religious exemptions.
Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Counsel, and filing this class action lawsuit. Some 16,600 exemption requests were filed, ladies and gentlemen. Not one was accepted. You know, they say, oh, yeah, we have these religious exemptions. We're just not giving any out. We'll be back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, creation seminar speaker at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, can one believe in God and evolution at the same time?
Chris, many people do believe in God and in evolution by natural selection, but I don't think they should. The very reason evolution exists is to try to explain the fact that we're here without a God. It's a totally natural theory as opposed to supernatural. Recently, I heard from a Christian in Russia. He acknowledges that evolution was used as a tool by the communist government for all those years to discredit Christianity and the Bible. Today, there are many Christians in Russia, but it would be very rare to find a Christian who believes in evolution. Those who have gone through the communist ordeal have recognized that evolution and Christianity are incompatible. I wish American Christians would see that back to Genesis truth so clearly.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Matt Staver is with us here from Liberty Council. We're talking about the unlawful COVID shot mandates under fire. And yesterday, even a ruling coming forth from a federal judge on this. Let me just probe a bit further on this, Matt. So this judge is saying, hey, I want to report every 14 days from every branch of the military on this issue. So far, they have not granted one single exemption, religious exemption in all of this. But I looking at this judge's order, and it appears that it is to start January 7th, which would seem to indicate that those who are right now caught in this vortex of this mandate are going to be losers of their positions or something, unless something else happens to intervene for them.
Yeah, the reason why he chose that date, I don't necessarily agree with it, but the reason why he did it is because during the hearing on November 15, the Department of Justice, on behalf of the military branches, said that they would not have any adverse reactions taken against any members of the military until they had the appeal process completed. So the deadline is December 15 to get the shots. If they don't have the shots by December 15, and there's going to be many, many thousands, tens of thousands that don't for religious reasons, and there's others for other reasons as well, then they'll be denied, and they have a right to appeal. And so that takes you past January 7 before there's any disposition. Now, the problem that I have with that, on the one hand, it's good in the sense that no one's going to be disciplined before January 7, before that first reporting, before sometime in January. However, the problem with that, on the other hand, is that some people are going to feel, because of the inevitable denials that we've seen, this pattern of denials, they're going to feel so much pressure that they're ultimately going to cave. And we've seen that already happen, whether it's in the military or in other places of employment context. And that, you know, once you ring that bell, once you inject your body with the substance, it's hard to unring that bell or hard to take that substance out. It doesn't just pass through your body like eating something and it's gone, perhaps. It has other long-term and short-term consequences.
Well, Matt, as you know, we are in this time period, too, where Dr. Fauci, you know, we need the boosters, and you need a booster here at 6 months, and we may need another one here. And there's talking of rescinding the terminology of being fully vaccinated until you get that booster shot. So you would therefore, rescind your fully vaccinated status until you get this, and they keep moving the goalposts where this may happen another 6 months. Months on the road again.
Yeah, the judge actually raised that regarding this continual adding of another shot like the booster shot, and was that was a major problem. Right now we're not there yet, but we're getting close to that. In fact, if you travel to Israel right now and you've had two shots already, if they have been more than 6 months, or I think it's 6 months prior to the time that you go to Israel, then you need a booster shot. So Israel is already requiring that. Israel is already essentially saying that you're not fully, quote, vaccinated, close quote, unless you have the booster shot. So you need not only the two shots, if it's the two-shot system, or the single shot if it's Johnson & Johnson, but you're also going to need a booster shot. That's shot number three if you have the two-shot system. But eventually it's going to be shot number four and shot number five. It's a never-ending cycle, and that is a real problem. So, I mean, there's pros and cons of what happened mm-hmm. with the judge's ruling yesterday. We would have preferred to get an injunction now, and we think that the law actually requires an injunction now because you don't have to wait to get punished, particularly under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. You don't have to wait to get punished. The mere threat of punishment is enough to trigger it. So in other words, if you have an unconstitutional zoning law that bans churches in the downtown area, you don't have to apply and necessarily get banned before you ultimately file suit. If you are chilled in your religious exercise, you can't rent a storefront, for example, for your worship service, or even though you haven't tried it yet. The law clearly says you can't do it. Then you can bring the suit under RFRA or under some other law like the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act. So you don't have to actually get punished. You don't have to risk criminal prosecution if you have a real threat. Take, for example, Hobby Lobby. That was a Religious Freedom Restoration Act case. The law had not yet gone into effect that they had to provide abortion coverage or abortion-inducing drugs and devices for their employees, but it was about to at some point in the future. They filed suit, went to the Supreme Court, and they won.
Matt, as we consider this matter and what came from the federal judge just yesterday, are you in the throes of decision-making right now, whether to appeal this to a higher court or just go along with this until January?
We actually had an attorney meeting today, this morning, to discuss some of those issues. And we're typically on a case like this, if we got an injunction denied, we would have already filed the appeal. And we would have taken it up to the appeal process right away. We'd already be in the appeal process, and we'd file the emergency. And if we get that denied, we go to the appeals court. And if we get that denied, we go to the U.S. Supreme Court. And we're debating on the particular next step.
Mm-hmm.
And the time frame is so short, and we're monitoring right now today and tomorrow and perhaps the next couple of days what's happening in the military, what kind of changes are taking place. What we do know is that it's pros and cons. It's mixed. We have information coming out that says they're not going to be disciplined, but for those that refuse, they're not going to progress in their military career. They're not going to get promoted. They're not going to get honors, and they'll not get a contract renewed when their time comes to an end. But others are saying that that doesn't apply for anybody who's got an outstanding religious exemption request. So it's really a timing.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular judge is looking at, when does he drop the hammer on the military? I think he could have dropped the hammer now. The judge is waiting for a little more information. And if, in fact, that next reporting period is very similar to November 12, that they're rejecting all of these or most of these religious exemption requests, then we win. So either way, what we have is in the next few weeks, it'll be determined very clearly what happens. The bottom line is this. No matter what the military does, there are men and women in the military who will get their religious exemption request granted. It'll either be done voluntarily, and we'll see that in the next reporting phase, but if they don't do it and they dig their heels in, as I suspect they might, then the judge will force them to follow the law.
Matt Stavers with us today on Liberty Counsel. And, Matt, this is just one factor of things for us to talk about here today, but a very important one, because there is another battle that you're fighting on the behalf of elderly and disabled nursing home patients in New York. Fill us in on what's happening there.
Yeah, we have a lawsuit pending in New York on behalf of healthcare workers, because the New York governor issued an order forcing all of the healthcare employers to terminate any employee that doesn't get the COVID shot and to deny the religious exemption request. Now, there's a case pending right now at the U.S. Supreme Court asking the court to intervene. We just filed a brief at the high court on behalf of what we call John Doe 1. That's how he's identified in our New York lawsuit. He is an owner of a nursing home in New York, and that nursing home has been in business for about 50-plus years. It has 15 residents, a small staff. Only one has received their COVID shots. The rest of the staff have religious objections, and the owner of the nursing home is a Christian. So he agrees with them, and he wants to give religious accommodations to those other employees. As of Monday of this week, November 22, yesterday, he's operating illegally. Because as of November 22, If you have employees that don't have the COVID shots and you haven't terminated them, then your business license is threatened by the state. They will take away your business license and fine you every day that you are in operation. So right now as we speak, Jim, his nursing home operation is operating under a governor's order, and it's illegal, quote unquote. And he's facing fines every single day. But he can't ethically or legally shut down the nursing home. If he fires the staff according to the governor's mandate and doesn't grant the religious exemption, first of all, it would be unethical and immoral. He doesn't want to do that. But if he did that, he'd have to shut down the nursing home. And he can't just shut down the nursing home ethically, morally, or legally. Why? Because the law says you can't just simply evict these residents unless you have a place to transfer them. And if anybody's ever tried to place a relative, an elderly parent, for example, in a nursing home, transfer them from one to another, or get them in a nursing home or assisted living care facility for the very first time, it takes weeks and months to get all those things arranged. So he can't just close down because he'd be operating illegally. He can't stay open because he's now operating illegally. So it doesn't matter what he does. He's in a legal situation, a catch-22. He's illegal no matter what he does, and that's why we're asking the Supreme Court, by this brief, intercede now. Look at the human cost. Look at the law that's being violated. Look at this insanity that's being created by this New York governor.
Matt, while all this is going on, and I know there's so many things you're involved in at this point, but just earlier today, this very day, Tuesday, we have the Biden administration now going to the U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals to reject the order from the Fifth Circuit and to reinstate the Biden administration's order to OSHA to mandate private businesses with 100 or more workers to be required to get the shot. I mean, that happened as early as this morning.
Yeah, that's the Biden administration lawlessness at work. I mean, this is the most lawless administration I've ever seen. Most anti-religious, anti-life, anti-rule of law administration I've ever seen. And that's saying a lot because I'm considering the Obama administration, which was right up there at the very top until now. But what we have is I've read the order from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. It's a 3-0 unanimous decision. And it is exceptionally well written. It is heavily documented and, frankly, unassailable that the Biden administration, OSHA, has no authority. OSHA has had, you know, most people, and the media doesn't necessarily print this kind of thing, but most of the regulations that OSHA has tried to impose on businesses over the last couple of decades have been struck down by the courts as being beyond their authority. And moreover, OSHA has admitted multiple times that it has never regulated the matter of whether or not an employee should get a shot, an injection, a vaccine. Never done so. In fact, what ultimately, we can pick it up after the break, but OSHA is really outside of its jurisdictional authority.
Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Council, and this is what's impacting people all across the nation. Yes, we've talked about what's happening in the medical profession, what's happening in the military, but this is impacting companies with 100 or more. Yeah, it's been on hold right now, but the Biden administration is pushing to have that overturned. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
One of the prevalent conflicts in society is the battle over gender and marriage. We are flooded with stories pertaining to drag queen story hours, the restroom debates, gender reassignment surgeries, pronoun identification, biological males on female athletic teams, and so much more. These issues are not only confronting schools and businesses, but they have also encroached inside the church. Many are left wondering how to deal with these matters. The book, The Marriage and Gender War, addresses these issues head-on by using the absolute standard for morality as found in God's Word, and is edited by Bodie Hodge and Ken Ham. The book is designed to equip students, parents, Christian leaders, and others to uphold the truths of Scripture on these critical issues. The Gender and Marriage War is available for a donation of $16 by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829.
Yes, friends, this very morning, the Biden administration has gone to the U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, compelling them to stop this Fifth Circuit and reinstate, you know, the Biden administration's order to OSHA, you know, to mandate private businesses with 100 or more workers to be required to get the shot. That's what the Biden administration is doing behind the scenes. And folks, this is going on as current as this morning. Matt Staver is with us today from Liberty Council. They are representing a class of individuals, the whole U.S. military, representing many in the medical profession, representing many who are students, all in fighting the mandates that are these edicts that are coming down from the federal government. Now, Matt, we were just talking about OSHA and their requirements upon employees. But this does not seem to be the mandate that OSHA had even for its charter, you know, going into existence.
No, I mean, you look at OSHA, and first of all, by the way, not all the states are under OSHA, which is surprising to many people. About maybe a little less than half of the states in the country have their own state OSHA equivalent, but it's not under the federal OSHA. And Florida right now just passed a law that says they are looking toward opting out of and moving away from OSHA and having their own state standard because they're tired, frankly, of the federal government dictating to Floridians and businesses and employees what to do.
It's a 10th Amendment issue.
Yeah, it's a 10th Amendment issue. So this is having a real big pushback by the states, and I think more states will move to just do their own thing instead of operate with regards to OSHA. But OSHA historically has been to protect the worker based upon hazards inherent in the workplace based upon what the employer is doing. So, for example, there are certain chemicals that the employer is using in its manufacturing or cleaning products. You either can't use certain ones because they've been known to be very hazardous to employees, or you have to use them in a very certain way or with certain protective gear, or you're working with certain kinds of things that fall overhead, so you may have to wear a helmet to protect, you know, your head from falling objects. But it's never, ever in its history been used to regulate employees. That's not inherent to the workplace. That's not what the employer is doing in the workplace. These are individual employees, and that can change from place to place. There is no one-size template that fits everything. So I think OSHA is on a very shaky ground. And I don't think that they have the legal authority. And the Fifth Circuit case, I think, is unassailable. And, you know, the good thing is that it was the Sixth Circuit that was chosen. The Sixth Circuit has a number of better judges on it than some of the other circuits. So it's not good news for Biden, and I think it's good news for employers and employees.
And nonetheless, though, we have some employers who are still pushing this. Others are backing off. I mean, I saw, was it Disney was backing off, and some of the other national employers are backing off from this mandate. But, Matt, we see also the impact that this would have on our trucking industry. We talk about, you know, this the supply shortage and all the issues that are happening with the supply chain right now. If this is allowed to stand, I mean, we ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah, you know, Disney backed off because, in part, not only OSHA's been stopped by the federal courts, but because Florida passed a law that says Disney and everybody else, if you require your employees to get the shot and you don't provide them medical exemptions, religious exemptions, exemptions for pregnancy or intended pregnancy, or exemptions if they want to use PPE or if they want to get tested weekly, if you don't give them five options to be exempted, which is basically anyone who wants to get exempted, then if you're at the size of Disney, you're going to be fined $50,000 for every violation. So Disney backed off. And I hope more states do the same thing and pass laws similar to Florida. But, you know, what this particular rule does is it really impacts the whole country if it were allowed to go into existence. And some of these employers were following this mandate because of the Biden OSHA rule, and now they've stopped. But others are pushing it anyway, despite whether or not they have to or not, those employers still are subject to the law. They still must recognize medical exemptions and religious exemptions under Title VII, which provides protection for all of these employees. Any company that has 15 or more employees is under the federal Title VII. If you have less employees, you're under the state law, which typically doesn't require as many employees. And then sometimes you're under a local county or city law that requires even less employees. And those are very similar parallel laws at the state level, the local level, to the federal Title VII employment law.
Amazing information coming out just last evening. The WorldNet Daily, WND.com, published a story here on the files that were just released by the FDA, Freedom of Information Act lawsuit. But they recorded some 158,893 adverse events from the Pfizer vaccine in the first 2.5 months of distribution, including 25,957 incidents of what they call nervous system disorders. Matt, this came out because of the Freedom of Information Act request. We also see what's happening on theirs. By the way, OSHA has been discouraging businesses or entities from reporting to VAERS because they don't want adverse reaction, adverse effects reported, because it would discourage people from getting it. And they said, we're trying to encourage people to get it. But interesting information coming out through the Pfizer vaccine in the first 2.5 months, 26,000 nervous system disorders.
Yeah, and this is supposed to be transparency. The American people deserve to know that information, because now they're pushing this out there, and now they're trying to force it under this administration, the lawless administration, on individuals, and people need to know the information, and they're intentionally withholding the information. That is outrageous. That's like a Marxist, communist, socialist regime. That's like a dictatorship, withholding information from the people and just putting out propaganda. And unfortunately, what has happened is you come to a position where you can't trust the government anymore. And I think a lot of people have not only lost trust in the media a long time ago, but have lost or are losing trust in the government when you find these kinds of things. You know, the information that we're seeing on the CDC's VAERS report shows that now we're close to, we will soon, before the end of the year, we will top 1 million reports of adverse reactions. Right now through November 12th, we're at 894,143. The deaths are recorded at 18,853, and people who are permanently disabled, 30,010. People who have myocarditis and pericarditis, 13,237. And those numbers just continually mushroom every week. We have thousands of people who are suffering miscarriages, 2,996 miscarriages. And the reports here are just a fraction of what's really happening. Because I know many, many people, and talking to many doctors and healthcare workers, and they know many, many people in their sphere, and those other knowledge of adverse reactions or even deaths that they know of are not being recorded.
And, folks, it's not just here in the U.S. I just saw WND.com as well. As we take a look at the European Union, we have a total, they're reporting 30,551 fatalities, and 1.1 million adverse effects due to COVID-19 vaccines have been reported in their official database. Folks, Matt, this ought to speak volumes to us. I mean, there are adverse effects. Senator Johnson has been trying to highlight these, and media will not pick up on this, and certainly the federal government isn't. The CDC doesn't want to be there. Pfizer doesn't want to acknowledge it. Moderna doesn't want to acknowledge. The NIH and the National Institutes of Health, Food and Drug Administration, they don't want to acknowledge what's going on here.
No, they don't. And, it's interesting if you start tracking individuals who are dying in their sleep. They just are found dead. They have no, quote, known cause of death. They just died in their sleep. You have, for example, that happening more and more right now than ever before. You have to ask yourself the question, did they get one of these COVID shots sometime before that happened. And many of them, you'll find, did. There is a cardiologist in Canada. Cardiologist actually sent a tweet earlier this year really pushing the COVID shots. And he said that, you know, for those people who get COVID and you die, you're not vaccinated, I will not cry at your funeral.
Mm.
Well, he just got the booster. And this 52-year-old healthy cardiologist is now dead.
My. Folks, our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. If you've got a question you'd like to ask of Matt, Matt, I'm confident people are listening right now. They said, I don't know what to do. I'm, you know, I serve in the guard, or my employer is saying we have to do this. Where can I turn?
Well, you can go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, click on the legal help tab, and fill out the form and go from there. You can also go directly lc.org/exempt, lc.org/exempt. Fill out the legal help form. Watch the video. We have almost 1 million views of that video now. Look at some of the religious exemption request letter samples. Do your own religious exemption request. And if you already have done it, fill out the form anyway. We'll be in regular contact with you through emails and through regular multiple weekly telephone conference calls to walk you through the process and help guide you through that process to get these religious exemptions.
Again, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's go to Salina, Kansas. Russell, you're on the air.
Yes, Jim, thanks for taking my call. And, Matt, keep doing what you're doing. I follow you on get your emails and support you and doing a tremendous job. My question is, if the military goes ahead, okay, and some of these exemptions are granted, can the personnel still be punished because they elected to request in the future, request then and receive their?
Thank you, Russell.
No, if that happens, if they grant them but then try to punish them in other more subtle ways, we will come back with injunctive relief. We're going to follow this process to make sure not only they get a religious exemption request, but also that they don't have any adverse consequences. And the same is true with an employer. If an employer reluctantly gives you a religious exemption and then punishes you by giving you bad assignments or giving you bad reviews, that's no different than you filing a complaint regarding sexual harassment in the workplace. And as a result of that, then they harass you and they punish you and they ultimately make it miserable so that you want to quit. That's a violation as well, because that's retaliation under the law.
Jerry is next in Whitewater, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you, Jim, for this programming, and thank you, Matt, for all you do. I thought, Matt, you said you had a fairly conservative judge the last time you were on the air, and that he would see that this drug is vaccine that they're saying has been, you know, approved by the FDA. It's not true. Why did they not see that? And do we have judges being paid off? How can they not see all these deaths? Are they not getting the facts on what's going on throughout the world? This is so confusing. These problems with judges.
He's not a Trump appointee. He's been on the bench for some time. He's been a fairly fair judge, and I appeared with him the first time back in the early 90s. And I'll pick that up and follow up with your conversation and your question after the break.
Great. Thank you. Jerry will answer that right after the break here. We'll be back in 60 seconds, a minute here. Matt Staver with us from Liberty Counsel. Again, the site he gave out, lc.org/exempt. We'll be back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. On November 11th, I had the privilege of producing and moderating a town hall meeting, four of them, in fact, four one-hour town hall meetings with a live studio audience. My guests were four retired FBI agents. One of them, Terry Turchi, is the former Deputy Assistant Director of the Counterterrorism Division of the FBI. All of these men have distinguished careers and covered some of the biggest cases in American history, such as the Unabomber, the bombing of the USS Cole, and the Archer Midland Daniels Corporation case. just to name a few. These men are warning about the Marxist takeover of the Department of Justice and how now that Marxist Department of Justice is taking over the FBI. It is a stark warning, and it's been picked up by very patriotic, pro-police law enforcement agencies. You can watch all hours at WVWTV.com.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Council. Matt, the caller here from Whitewater just before the break was saying, wasn't this to be a conservative judge? And don't these judges know what's going on? Don't they see the numbers that are coming from VAERS and other places?
Well, judges don't always get it right. And, you know, we did have the information in there, for example, even from the studies, and we have a very lengthy affidavit from Dr. Peter McCullough, who's an expert in this area, that goes through a lot of these adverse effects, particularly with regards to the military, in respect to the myocarditis, the pericarditis, the heart issues that are being caused that are known already to happen within the military. The military's own study showed that. So all that would be for the judge. And I think the judge is just more cautious than I would want him to be in terms of issuing the injunction. But I think the way it's set up now, even though I wish it was quicker, we'll ultimately get the result that we want, and that is religious exemption. Mm-hmm. Either they'll have to do it voluntarily without an injunction because of the threat that is hanging over their head now, or they'll have to do it involuntarily with an injunction. Either way, we're going to get the religious exemption request granted.
We've got Lisa calling from Arizona. Lisa, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Matt. Thank you for everything you guys do. Here's my specific question. Matt, are you also using the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act of 2008, Section 202, in your support for the banning the vaccine mandates and the testing? Can't that be also interpreted in this case?
It can have an application. It has a little bit lesser limited application than some of the other laws, but there's a number of legal bases to resist these mandatory or these COVID shots, and certainly that's one, but it has some limited application with regards to these particular shots.
Okay, but you are aware of it, and you guys
yes.
have it like in your – okay, I just
yes.
wanted to make sure. Thank
Very
you
much.
So much.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to Carol in Manawa, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes. If possible, could you please repeat those adverse reaction numbers again? That's so important for people to hear.
Yes,
thank
I
you.
Need to go back into it here.
But I tell you what, I've got it, Matt.
Okay. 894,143
adverse reports through November 12th. 18,853 deaths, 94,537 hospitalizations, 99,470 urgent care visits, over 139,000 doctor office visits, over 8,000 anaphylaxis, there's 11,229 Bell's palsy, 2,996 miscarriages, and over 9,300 heart attacks, over 13,000 myocarditis, over 30,000 permanently disabled. The list goes on there, Matt, but I mean...
Yeah, it goes on and on. And this is just a fraction of what's reality.
Yeah.
So you take that and you multiply it probably by at least 90%, and you're going to get or at least 50%, but it's much, much more than that. The historic reporting numbers is less than 1% in VAERS. Let's give it a little, for benefit of the doubt, a higher percentage of reporting on COVID. But it's not going to be more than 10%
mm-hmm.
of what's actual. So literally these are just the tip of the iceberg. Underneath the water is this huge base that is much greater than this.
Especially
this is startling.
Yeah, especially when you have OSHA encouraging, you know, not to report adverse effects. I mean,
right.
Folks wake up to what's going on here. Travis is calling from Tennessee. You're on the air. Travis, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I can hear.
Yeah, you're on the air.
All right. My question is I was wondering if, you know, if you can beat this and these mandates are dropped, these employers that had to let these people go, are they going to be able to hire, get the people that they lost back, get those jobs back?
Hmm.
Yeah, I think they can. Some people have become so disgusted with their employer that they don't want to go back. And the reason is some of these people have spent their life working for this employer, and then the employer betrayed them. And they're very upset at these employers, and you really begin to realize that they didn't have any concern for you in the first place. But the bottom line is, yes, I think they can go back to their work. I think also employers that required people to get these shots, whether voluntarily or under some mandate, they can be they can be liable for the adverse reactions and deaths that are caused by these shots. And, for example, you have a Denver police officer, and because of fear of his job, he got the COVID shot after the mandate came into the Denver police, the law enforcement area. And you know what? Unfortunately, he's nearly disabled now. He's partially paralyzed after getting the first shot.
All right. Travis, thanks for calling. We have an anonymous caller. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. I am not a speaker by no means, but I'm a fairly new listener to here. I've always been a Christian all my life, and but I need to weigh in because when I hear you guys talking about and such distraught in the voice, because I'm telling you, I'm with you 100% on what's going on this country. But I need to shed some light to help you guys out there. You know, the Department of Justice and the FBI is the Clinton cartel, and they have been using those individuals, the Department of Justice and the FBI, for many, many, many years, them along with the Bushes and along with the Obama administration. So our Department of Justice, our own government, is using certain individuals to carry out their agenda. And so that's what I'm hoping that my voice, will shed some light and some peace on everyone's heart to know that we are not in control and that we, the people, have to stand up and stop taking all of this government funding and all of this stuff. And
right, I'm going to have to stop you there because of the clock here. Matt, your response to the caller here.
Well, I think, you know, what you say is that we, the people, have to stand up and take back our freedom again. And I think that's true. I think you're starting to see an employee revolt, and you're seeing this around the world where people are just revolting in other countries against these mandates. And I think you're going to see more of that happen here in the United States. But I think you're right. The people have to stand up. Because if we don't now, this is the most serious threat to our freedom we've ever experienced in our lifetime.
And that's what you're doing, Matt. You're giving pushback through Liberty Council over these mandates.
Exactly. That's what we're doing, helping literally now over 30,000 people, and that number continues to climb. And, of course, the impact of that is even beyond it. But we're going to fight with every breath that we have.
Friends, lc.org, the website, lc.org/exempt. You may also reach them at 407-875-1776. Matt, thank you so much for your advocacy on behalf of so many.
Well, thank you, Jim. Thank you for getting the word out, and it's a pleasure to be with you.
And friends, continue to keep Liberty Council, Matt Staver, and team in your prayers. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.